But anyway, yeah, so sorry, I really don't have a better question or answer for your question, but we do appreciate you listening. So.
And if you can predict the weather, we do need a weather broadcast at the end of our show.
TheDiabeticShow.com is the best place to drop off those. Hey guys, so many. We should really do a show just for those. But
for the questions. The Facebook, too. And if you know of a guest or would you like to be a guest on our show.
Oh, please.
Contact us and we'll talk.
Yes, and much thanks to Troy McDonald.
Absolutely.
Future non-diabetic. General manager. No. Well, he's on the line. On the line? Yeah, you're... You don't look at me like that. I was laughing like you.
He's on the good side. Stay on the good side. We will talk to you soon. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much. No sugar tonight in my tea.
No sugar to stand beside me. This is WGTD-FM. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW-Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jess Sheeler, an outreach and career transition specialist at Job Corps, Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW-Oshkosh, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Manji. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. I'm Dwayne Olson, your host today for Education Matters on WGTD-HD, Gateway Technical College, Kenosha, Wisconsin, and 91.1 on your FM dial, and 101.7 in Elkhorn, and 103.3 in Lake Geneva. WGTD is a member of the Wisconsin Public Radio Network. Our program today focuses on the University of Wisconsin-Parkside's credit and non-credit programs. The non-credit programs are available through the Department of Continuing Education, or I should say many of the non-credit programs are available through the Department of Continuing Education, and the credit programs are available through their various academic departments. The Department of Continuing Education is chaired by Ms. Krista Cruz, who has brought a member of the UW-Parkside academic faculty, Dr. Brian Lewis, Associate Dean of the College of Natural and Health Science, with her. And welcome to both of you to this education of Education Matters.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
To start our program, let's focus on continuing education, and that's Krista's department. Their website indicates that, and I quote from the materials available, continuing education at UW-Parkside educates and engages you and your organization by offering the highest quality professional development, certificates and certifications, conferences, and personal enrichment workshops. Learning is a lifelong process, and we aim to provide you with a diverse selection of topics and learning forums to fit into your ever-changing lifestyle needs. The end of that quote. So further information then on UW-Parkside's continuing education programs is available through their website, www.uwp.edu/CE, all lowercase. Okay, so to get started today, why don't each of you introduce yourselves by telling our listeners about your education and professional backgrounds and what brought you to UW-Parkside? And we'll start with you, Krista Cruz. Ladies before gentlemen.
So, as Dwayne said, I'm Krista Cruz. I'm the Director of Continuing Education at Parkside, and I am a proud alum of the university.
Great.
So, graduated many years ago, and since then, I earned a master's degree with Cardinal Stritch, Master's in Science of Management. And so I would say that my initial goal in my career was not to work in academia, but I feel that I really gravitated toward training, development type jobs. I've always found myself or somehow created some kind of pocket for myself to offer some type of training and development for others, because I love having that experience, but I like helping others. And so it's just been a natural kind of fit for me. And so now here I am working in continuing ed.
Well, talk a little bit about your previous experience in Kenosha.
I used to work with United Way for several years in Kenosha. Prior to that, I was in Chicago with a consulting firm. It was training and development. But at United Way, I found myself being able to work with a lot of the nonprofits, offering capacity building workshops and other training on outcomes measurement. It was a lot of fun.
And what you have brought with you then is a background of understanding of what organizations need in terms of continuing ed.
Yeah, so even with continuing education, it's not just about developing programs and providing some type of training. It's also about community partnerships and really understanding the needs in the community, whether they are professional development or if it's just educational in nature, like just sharing information from experts, not just around in our region, but around the world.
Excellent. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Brian Lewis, then you're Associate Dean, College of Natural and Health Sciences. Tell us about your background and what brought you to UW Parkside.
I'm happy to do that. Thank you. So I'm, again, I'm Brian Lewis. I'm the Associate Dean in the College of Natural and Health Sciences. I'm also Director of Pre-Health Programs at the university.
Okay.
And a faculty member within the Biological Sciences Department. So my background is I'm a Wisconsin kid, grew up in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and I went to school in Wisconsin, Ripon College.
Okay.
I was a biology major, chemistry minor there. I was a pre-med student.
Okay.
And somewhere during my academic career, I realized through engaging in what we call high-impact practices, doing research with one of my faculty members, I found that I developed a much stronger love for research than I did for clinical practice.
Okay.
So I applied to and got into PhD programs. So I finished a master's degree and a doctorate degree in physiology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Great.
From there, I went on to work for 2 years as a professor at a school called Clark College in Dubuque, Iowa,
okay.
where I had teaching rights within the biology department, but also within their professional physical therapy program. So I got very heavily involved in health sciences. Again, I had some background and interest in this to begin with. And for some reason, ended up being the faculty senate president at the end of my first year. I'm not sure how that happened. We don't need to go into the details of that, but what that did do is it gave me some experience with administrative work and
Wonderful.
Working with upper administration at a college and a university and trying to bridge programs and support faculty in their research while still within the mission of that university. So I felt like that, even though I was very young in my career, that was very insightful.
Right.
So when the position came up to apply to be director of pre-health programs at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, I felt pretty comfortable moving into that role of director of a program while still being a faculty member. So I came to UW-Parkside in 2000, took over for the venerable Dr. Anna Maria Williams. Who
yes,
was,
and those are big shoes to fill, so you must have been a very attractive candidate.
I'm not even trying to fill them. You cannot fill the shoes of Dr. Williams. So I came into that position. Alma Rhenish was teaching at that time period and actually serving in that capacity at the university. So I stepped into the role of director of pre-health programs and then, again, a faculty member in the biology department. Been doing that for 18 years, but as I've been at the university, have continued to be involved with program development. And whether it's been, you know, the creation with a colleague of mine, Dr. Penny Leiter, in the exercise science department, a new major in applied health sciences that we came up with in 2007, which allowed students who were looking to go into programs like professional physical therapy, occupational therapy. We totally made this major up out of requirements that were there for programs in exercise science, biology, and chemistry, required that students get 300 hours of hands-on experience in their fields before they're able to graduate. So we made it a real applied program, a real hands-on program. It really took off. And I haven't stopped since. So just creating brand new programs, new opportunities for students. And loved it, continue to do it. Now I'm the associate dean. I get to do that almost all the time.
And you get to oversee those kinds of developments and that sort of thing, too.
And it is fun because a lot of the Applied Health Sciences program in particular, we designed with the needs of the students in mind.
Right.
And then, you know, just most recently within that Applied Health Sciences major, this ties into something that Krista was saying about working with the community and cooperation. We just designed and are now implementing this year a brand new concentration in that Applied Health Sciences major in medical lab sciences. And that came out of a conversation we had with some of our clinical partners at Frederick South,
okay.
you know, Kenosha United. And they said they had a population that was needing additional training in medical lab sciences. They were looking at some turnover. And they said, what can you do to help us? So we created a program that allows students to be able to sit for national licensing in medical lab sciences to help them fill the need for their current employees and try to create more talent for their future needs.
Is this a graduate program or an undergraduate program?
It's an undergraduate program. It's a bachelor's degree program, and we're just implementing it this year. that's going to be designed to allow students to sit for national accreditation to become a certified medical lab technician to work not just at Frederick South, but for a whole bunch of other different hospitals and clinics in the community. Okay. It's actually the first partnership we've ever had like this at the university, so it's
and
pretty exciting.
And this is a perfect example of responding to the needs of the community, and we're going to get back to, to more of that in a little bit here. So then, how about enrollment in this program? How is it going?
Well, we anticipate it's going to go well. We're actually not teaching our first class until this coming spring.
Okay.
So we just got it approved, and now we have to go through the process of actually building the program out. So I don't know in terms of how many students we're going to have enrolled in the program that are finishing it, but the Applied Health Sciences major has well over 100 students overall. So once we started that program, it grew very quickly and has turned into one of the larger majors within the College of Natural Health Sciences. And this being a concentration underneath that, if it's really fitting the needs of community, I can't imagine that it's going to be a lowly enrolled program. I think this is really going to take off.
Well, and we'll talk about Foxconn later, but I'm sure that what we're talking about in terms of education programs are going to be even greater in demand because of Foxconn coming and enhancing the population of the southeast corner of Wisconsin.
And some very specialized demands as well.
Right. So. Okay. Let's talk to you then about a couple of the upcoming free continuing education programs.
Sure.
And the first one I want on my list here is Living with Loss, Caring for a Loved One with Alzheimer's. And you're going to have that at 7 o'clock on October 10th. Is that right?
Correct. So we have Dr. Darcy Harris, who will be our keynote, and she's going to share her expertise in how you care for a loved one, you know, the emotions that you're going through, the challenges of a loved one who has Alzheimer's, and also the unique grief that individuals experience as they're going through that process. So she's going to give a presentation, and there will be some time for questions, Q&A time.
Great.
And so.
Good.
Yeah, we invite the entire community to attend. There's already, I don't know, close to 150 people registered. So.
Oh, you have 150 people
close
already?
Close to that, just on, yeah, on yeah, a little bit under, yeah. So we expect that that number could double by the time we actually hold the event. But we have room, so, and it's being held at the cinema at UW Parkside in the Student Center, so we invite everybody to join us.
Okay, and so anybody who's listening then, if you're interested then in participating in this program on caring for a loved one with Alzheimer's, what's your phone number?
It is 262-595-3340. We can help get you registered, or you can go to the website that Dwayne mentioned earlier, uwp.edu/CE, and you can find the registration link there as well. There's no exchange of money of any kind, but it's just to register so we can prepare for those
attending the
event.
Yeah, so you know how many people to have materials for.
And we'll have snacks there for people, so if you're coming after work, there will be some food. And also for professionals that are in the behavioral health and human service kind of industry, health industry, there are CEUs available too.
Wonderful.
As well, so.
CEUs, and by that you mean?
Continuing education units.
Great, okay. Mm-hmm. And many times people need to have that for their certification.
Yes, and this is a recertification year coming up, so.
Okay. And let's go on to the next program that I noted in your materials that you're offering then free of charge. The Conflict on Social Media, Dealing with Like Minds and Divergent Questions. And this is going to be at 10 o'clock on November the 1st. And this program is going to be led by a lady by the name of Hannah Stonehouse Hudson.
Yes, and Hannah's an excellent speaker. She's done TED Talks on this type of work, you know, how you use social media and using how we display empathy or have empathy when we're using social media. So she's really going, for this talk, she's going to focus on when we have those divergent opinions and how we respond to that. And the visual, the image that we have when you go to the website is really interesting because it's a person like shaking a computer, like screaming at it. And so how do we communicate with one another? How do we do that respectfully, productively? And also, we are creating a digital imprint when we're using social media, when you put it out there, it's out there. So some things to think about, how that impacts you personally, but also how it impacts others. And things, you know, when you put it out in the written word, you really can't take it back. So, so it's going to be an excellent talk. And students, it'll be great for students. Anybody in the community, professionals that want to learn about social media, using social media and things, you know, how do you have that etiquette? It's for everyone.
Okay, and now, and this lady then, you said, had given a TED Talks and that sort of thing, so people could Google her name, Hannah Stonehouse Hudson, and get some more sense of what this lady has to offer.
Yeah, and she has a wonderful personal story. She didn't set out to have this type of an expertise or a career in this area, but it's kind of evolved into that based on her own personal story. And I really don't have time to get into it on the radio, but I encourage people to read about it. They can find that. They probably can find it through YouTube or other various platforms.
So 10 o'clock on November the 1st, right?
Mm-hmm.
10 o'clock in the morning.
Correct.
Okay, how long will it last?
That one, I don't have the time in front of me. I think it's only an hour and a half. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And so.
I think it's it is an hour. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay. That's very interesting and sounds like it's very opportune and for this day and age that we live in terms of fake news and that sort of thing. Right?
Yeah, when you go back to the last election, the presidential election, and think about all the opinions that were being kind of thrown around and how people were, you know, it's easier to be a little more disrespectful or intolerant when you're hiding behind a computer, and we communicate differently when we're face-to-face. So how can we do that in a more respectful way using technology?
How did you decide to have this program, offer this program? What motivated you and your group to do this?
Well, it is interesting. We have a series called Inclusive Leadership that we have been developing.
Ah.
And it's been evolving as we've been working on the content. And one of the areas of concern with a lot of employers is the use of social media, not only at work, but also personally, and how that can affect individuals in their careers, how that the blurred line between personal and professional use of social media. And then also just looking at, and that kind of bleeds into one of the workshops, the digital etiquette workshop, how we use better etiquette when using like email, text messaging, any digital platform. So we started working with Hannah on developing the training, and then this just kind of evolved out of that, and she offered to come and do a talk for us at UW Parkside. So
and getting into this media kind of business, don't like future employers take a look to see what you have done as a person if you're applying for a job to looking at your media to see what kind of person maybe you are, because sometimes that can be negative.
And she will talk about that. She'll also talk about the things that you put out there. And also, even if you are an employee and you're at work and you go home and you post something about your miserable day at work or your miserable employees, and again, I'm kind of blending the two because she has the essential etiquette for the digital workplace training that's launching very soon here. She also talks about case studies where this has happened, ruined careers, and businesses. So there are case studies. So,
okay, let's move on then. And now tell us about a couple of your fee-based programs, which provide certification for those who are interested. And I've got down here the hidden cost of conflict in the workplace on October 19th.
Yeah, so the instructor for that workshop or training is Jennifer Buckles, and she's a corporate trainer. So we're very fortunate to have her as well. She's also a Parkside alum. That's really great. And she travels the country, and I think she travels internationally a little too. So offering all different types of training. So one of her specialties is conflict, conflict management. So the hidden cost of conflict in the workplace, the lunch and learn we have a lunch and learn for that, the series, Conflict in the Workplace Certificate Series. So the lunch and learn is on October 19th, and that's an hour long. It's open to anybody in the community, and she's just going to talk about, you know, the loss of productivity and how it hits an organization's bottom line when we don't deal with conflict or we leave it unresolved or mismanage it. So there's some consequences that go with that. So the individuals would leave with a little few more strategies maybe on how to handle that in the workplace. And again, teaser to the workshop series.
What's the cost on that then? Do you know?
Yeah, they're $375 for each individual workshop.
Okay.
Or train. I keep calling them a workshop. We have workshops, we have trainings, but these are a blended training offering, so they're online, and each one lasts about a month.
Okay.
And so they're $375.
Okay, $375.
Yes.
Okay. And then the next one we want to talk about that's in the fee area is what's your conflict resolution style on November 16th?
So, again, that's another lunch and learn, and that also is an hour long. And one, I can't remember which one of the two, but they are filling up, so I just want to mention that to people, too. So we might be able to move to a bigger space. However, this particular lunch and learn is about self-awareness and your own unique style of addressing conflict, and maybe how you can work with your own unique style. It's okay that we all address it or manage it differently, but how do we improve our effectiveness in dealing and managing conflict in the workplace? So it's so important to workplace culture that we figure out how to do this in the best way possible. So, I think there's a short self-assessment as well in that in that hour. So self-assessment. So,
okay, I'm going to skip the next question and go on to the one after that. So how are you hoping to attract people who are you hoping to attract people to these programs, and who are your intended audiences? How do you go about that? That's marketing.
Right.
That's
well,
business.
It depends on the program. As far as our community events go, I mean, everybody is encouraged to enroll and join us. I would say that the lunch and learns are geared more toward the professional or the employer that is interested in sending their employees through some of the trainings. We had a series of roundtable discussions, over about a year and a half ago, with many HR professionals from the community and others from different organizations. And a lot of the feedback we heard was, around some of these topics like conflict management, time management, digital etiquette, those types of things. So we really took that information and brought it back to continuing ed and said, okay, let's try to develop something around these topics and provide some training and, training for the employees in our area.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think we're going to – let's skip down to Brian now and talk a little bit more about this current program that you're starting now in this next semester.
Okay.
Right. And is it called an MS in Healthcare Administration? Is that it?
That's not the – we've got two different things that we're moving forward with.
Oh,
so
you are busy.
The program that we're starting in the spring – in terms of formally teaching classes, that's called Medical Lab Sciences. And that's a bachelor's degree program. It's really designed primarily, really, I would say, for a workforce and continuing education to develop skills for people that allow them to pick up a bachelor's degree so they can sit for a national certification to become a medical lab scientist, medical lab technician.
Okay.
So that's really the driving force behind that. And, again, we were reached out to by local partners to say, we have a need, what can you do to fill it? So that's an undergraduate program. We do have also, starting in, spring of 2019, we have a brand new online consortial master's program in healthcare administration. So that's a master's degree program. It's designed for students who already have bachelor's degrees, and that's really designed for employees, entry-level management, mid-level management positions in different hospitals, clinics, healthcare settings to pick up a master's degree that's really focused on communication skills, focused on economic issues, focused on leadership issues to help them advance within their career fields. So that program is part of what I'm seeing is right now a largely growing field within the UW system of these programs that are called consortial online programs. They're really
so you're not just alone doing this.
No, there's a number of different campuses that are also partners within this program. It's run out of an organization called CEOEL out of UW Extension, UW System at this point.
Right.
And what they do is they come up doing a large amount of market analysis and needs analysis. They come up with ideas for brand new programs that are either bachelor degree programs or often master's degree programs. And then they send this concept out to all the UW system schools to say,
okay,
who wants to be a part of this?
Yes.
So for healthcare administration, with the strengths we have in health sciences at the University of Wisconsin Parkside, we jumped on this very fast. We actually ended up being the lead campus. So we're the ones who, you know, put everything forward and really shepherded this thing all the way through UW system and through our Higher Learning Commission for accreditation. So that program is also, that's starting in the spring. And it's a wonderful program, again, completely online, 100% geared towards students who are adult working students. Mm-hmm. It really is. Sometimes people don't necessarily think about continuing education. They think it may be like a master's degree level, but that's exactly what this is. So it allows students to be able to take courses online at whatever pace they want to, work towards a master's degree that'll enhance their overall educational experiences, give them a brand new set of tools and skills that they can use to advance within their careers, and also stay in step with the changes that are happening within the healthcare field so they can be more responsive, more adaptive, and more valuable to their, not just their clinics, but to their regions. And so we're really excited about that program moving forward too. And there's a number of these programs that are out there, and UW Parkside's a part of many of them. But
okay,
this is
and
just
Parkside
one
got started many years ago in terms of distance learning kinds of programs, isn't that right?
We have been involved with that for mm-hmm. a long time. I don't know as much information about how all that started, but we certainly have a very long history of being involved with online distance education programming. But we're really, I've seen a very large increase in that over the last 4 or 5 years, actually. It's really seemed like it exploded. So.
And you said that there's interdisciplinary communication. So do you have communication courses involved in it as well? Is that it?
We do have communication courses involved, but that's where we rely on the expertise also from a lot of the other campuses.
Mm-hmm.
One of our partners, one of the professors who's teaching in this program, this master's program in healthcare administration, is a former vice president from GE Healthcare. So he's been involved in setting standards and regulations for healthcare, and he's going to be coming in to teach a course on leadership and quality improvement. Another one of the faculty members is actually at the University of Wisconsin Parkside. It's Dr. Suresh Chalasani, and he's teaching a course basically in data management and data governance. So we are not teaching the courses that are specific for communication, but we have faculty members at other universities that are able to teach those classes. And so part of the power of these consortial programs is it may not be possible for any one campus to offer all the courses they need on their own.
Right.
So we're partnering with, you know, UW-Stout, UW-Platteville, UW-La Crosse. We're creating these programs, UW-Green Bay, that allow us to create and offer opportunities for our students that just weren't possible before. So it's wonderful. It's engaging. It's fantastic to get to know other colleagues in other campuses and know that we're legitimately, it's full cooperation.
And certainly it's of advantage then to the taxpayers of the state of Wisconsin because it's much more efficient then in terms of using faculty who are at various institutions coming together. And it also makes the point, too, one of the concerns I have in terms of education is northern Wisconsin and access then to the UW and that sort of thing. So people in more distant areas in the state then can take advantage of these online kinds of programs such as this.
That's correct. They're 100% online. So you don't find these classes in brick-and-mortar buildings. They're offered completely online, so they're open for everybody. State of Wisconsin, regionally, nationally, internationally, there's no scope that we can't hit with that. So it's very exciting.
Okay. And again, it responds to the needs of the state and the local community and that sort of thing. Let's talk about the program with Dr. Penny Leiter then from PE and that you got started, what, back in 2004?
2007. So this, the name of that program is Applied Health Sciences, and it's designed, again, fairly uniquely, I think. There's a core set of courses that all the students need to take, and they're the basic requirements, mathematics, chemistry, biology, that they need to be qualified for a whole bunch of different types of professional health programs. But then the students must select a particular concentration that's designed for the specific area they're looking to get into. So we have concentrations currently in athletic training, kinesiology, chiropractic, physician assistant, occupational therapy, physical therapy, public health, and then this most recent one is the medical lab sciences concentration.
And so you're having no problems in terms of enrollments, is that it?
The enrollments are not a problem at all in these. They're large. I'd say every year we probably graduate in the neighborhood of, 30 students a year, 30 graduates a year, probably maybe a little bit higher than that within this major. So it's been very successful.
Excellent. And again, it's efficient use then of the resources of the UW.
That's right. And it builds on our history of pre-health excellence in terms of getting students into programs. These are all, for the most part, professional health programs. And so the tradition that, again, Dr. Williams has started a long time ago is true to this day. Our pre-med program on campus, which is one of the things that we're really known for at the university. So since I've been here, which is since 2000, we've had 130 students apply to medical school, and 116 of those students have gotten in.
Oh, that's incredible.
It's an 89.2% placement rate into medical schools. And last year, the national average was 41.3.
Ooh.
So the programs that we create and the opportunities we provide for students really allow them to be incredibly competitive. And a lot of it is because we also require that they get hands-on experience. We engage in the community, and we're very blessed to have a lot of partners, healthcare providers, healthcare clinics that are willing to open up their doors. It doesn't hurt that a lot of them are alumni. Doesn't hurt that a lot of those are mine, and I can make a phone call to
Dr. Williams
and call on those resources. But that's also the, I think, one of the benefits of and one of the strengths of UW-Parkside is we are a regional four-year institution, and a lot of our graduates are from here, and a lot of our graduates, even if they go away to pick up their professional or graduate degrees, they want to come back, and it just creates this wonderful community environment where our students know that they can get the experiences they need. A lot of it is based on the generosity of, I think, the alumni that we have here in the region that are willing to remember their experiences at Parkside positively and try to be a part of that tradition continuing to move forward. So it's been wonderful.
Oh, at this point, then, I want to remind our listeners that this is your host, Dwayne Olson, and you're listening to Education Matters on WGTD-HD at 91.1 on your radio dial from Gateway Technical College, Kenosha, Wisconsin. Today, I am visiting with Krista Cruz, director, and her colleague, Professor Brian Lewis of the College of Natural Sciences. And Krista is director of the outreach programs here at UW-Parkside. Now back to our program. You have a statement from Dr. Suresh Chalasani then about programs in business. And so we'll get that in. But I also want to get back to Krista and talk about Adventures in Lifelong Learning and some other programs that she has, because those are really enriching programs for people in our community.
Yeah, Adventures in Lifelong Learning is just a wonderful program. They're turning 20. They've turned 20 this year, and they are 500-plus members strong. And they do so many exciting things all year round. So they have many educational workshops. They have social events and like special interest clubs or special interest groups and some day trips. And sometimes, you know, like the next trip they're taking to Baraboo coming up very shortly here is a 3-day trip. So, they're very active and busy.
So this is then for people who are interested in enrichment kinds of activities.
Yes, many and they're retired. It's a group of retired individuals from the community. And, it's $45 a year for membership.
Okay.
And they could talk to Vanessa Greco if anybody has questions about the membership. I do know what it includes It's a lecture series that happens 2 times per month.
Okay.
And that's that's included in the membership. Otherwise, they can sign up for all the activities and everything.
Okay, so how can someone sign up? Can they call your office then? Or
they can call that same number, 262-595-3340, and ask for Vanessa Greco. Or they can go to, if they're not sure and they just want to explore it further, they can go to the website, uwp.edu/ALL, for Adventures in Lifelong Learning.
Okay.
And everything's on the website.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Because I know I've been to concerts by the Milwaukee Symphony, and there's the all people there at the Milwaukee Symphony.
Yeah, they have a good
Friday
amount
mornings.
They have a good amount of emphasis on music programs, history, political types of educational workshops, and I feel like I'm missing another big one, but yeah.
Okay, very good. Let's before our time expires here, I want to give Dr. Lewis a chance to talk about the business programs from Suresh Chalasani there, and you too, Krista, so that people can know that the business area at Parkside has some lot of programs and outreach.
They do. So the person that we were really trying hard to get here today is Dr. Suresh Chalasani, and he's my partner in crime. He's involved also with the master's program in healthcare administration and another online collaborative that we do, which is called Health Information Management and Technology. So he's heavily involved in these processes. He does send his regrets. He would like to have been here, but believe it or not, he's actually at a conference for our Flex Business Program, which, not ironically, is one of the things that's involved in continuing education and providing opportunities for students to take courses and finish degrees in non-traditional ways. So he sends his regrets. But he wanted me to be able to say that certainly UW-Parkside is becoming, a clear leader in the UW system. In competency-based education programs, UW system actually refers to competency-based programs as flex option programs, and we're heavily invested in the flex option programs at UW-Parkside. In fact, the first and only flex option degree program in business within the UW system is offered by UW-Parkside. And Suresh is very much involved with that.
So what does that mean, flex option?
It means that students are, and maybe Krista knows more about this than I do.
Well, as Brian said, it's competency-based, so you work at your own pace. And as you move through the competencies, you just continue to move on to the next competency.
Okay. Do you create your own program? Can you create your own program, or to a certain extent, can you create your program?
I wouldn't feel as comfortable answering that question. They are still working on the design of you were talking about the business flex
rate
program. So that's still under design. So maybe what we could do is come back at another time and tell our listeners all about it.
That's right. Professor Lewis, then feel free to continue now that we've interrupted you.
No, that's totally fine. So they also offer a flex option certificate. That's been around for a while in program project management, but that's kind of the idea is stacked skills and competencies that allow you to move forward kind of at your own pace in many ways. There's also an online MBA program that's been recently launched that just came through Faculty Senate, I believe, last year as well. It's really picked up some significant growth, and the associate dean in that college, Dr. Michelle G., would certainly be someone that people could contact at the university if they wanted to learn more about that particular program. And again, they're also heavily invested in these online programs. So there's a Master of Science program in IT management that's coming through, and that's also through one of these consortial online programs. As I said before, they're heavily involved in the master's program in healthcare administration. They're involved in the HIMT program, the health information management. They're also partners with us in a program called Sustainable Management. Again, another online consortial program is at the bachelor's degree level and a master's degree level. So they're certainly heavily invested in providing opportunities for traditional and non-traditional students to complete their education in ways that are very conducive to allowing them to have a job, to have a life, but find a way to continue their education as they're moving forward.
Okay, you want to add anything to that?
Well, I just wanted to add that these are amazing programs, and we have amazingly talented staff, obviously. I just want to mention that we have a few other colleges that are not represented today on the interview. That's our College of Social Sciences and Professional Studies, and also our College of Arts and Humanities. And they, for continuing education, we offer a wide array of programs for individuals to complete their degrees. So those colleges also offer graduate program in the College of Social Sciences and Professional Studies, a new professional studies graduate, with various tracks that individuals can take. And then also we have degree completion programs in sociology, or the sociology program is all online. Mm-hmm. And then we have the liberal studies degree that's an online degree completion program. So there are a variety of different continuing education programs for adult learners to access at Parkside. So I just want to make sure that we leave with letting everybody know if they have any questions or if they're considering changing a career or developing new skills, as Brian said, and broadening their career or their options, they can contact our admissions office. We have a pre-admissions counselor, Stacy Tenholt, and I don't know their number right off the top of my head, but it's easy to find if you visit the website, the admissions office, and ask for Stacy, and she can help those adults.
So the place for people to go is to go to uwparkside.edu, and then go
click on admissions and find the contact information there.
And then they can go to any of the departments that they want and talk to
people
about what's available.
What Stacy can do is help field those calls. So if an individual's calling, they're not exactly sure where they want to go. And sometimes it's a little intimidating when you're going back to school, because we have a lot of individuals that have not finished college but have some credit in the area, and that can be a little intimidating to come back. So we don't want those individuals to feel intimidated. We invite you back. We're warm, we're caring, and you have wonderful faculty that are going to help you along through the process. So we encourage people to call. And then also, I just want to mention really quick about our certificate programs. We have many certificate programs in all of the colleges.
Okay.
So those are a little bit more accessible. It might be an opportunity for somebody to come in and get their feet wet and get a specialty type of certificate and see what they think from there, you know, if they're not really sure.
Okay, so explore is the word, maybe.
Yeah, explore a little bit more.
There you go.
So, yeah.
We can't conclude today's discussion without talking about Foxconn and the impact of Foxconn on university programming. Are there any programs being considered or developed to respond to the needs of Foxconn and thus to respond to the employee needs of people in our area?
The short answer is going to be yes. The longer answer is we're in development.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So what I would say is we certainly do have, again, a very long history at the University of Wisconsin-Parks of partnering with community businesses and programs and operations. And Foxconn clearly falls into that category. So they're clearly going to have a lot of knowledge-based types of jobs that Foxconn, they've already stated that they're going to need. And they're certainly going to be open to graduates from UW-Parkside. An example for this would be, for example, we have a 2+2 arrangement for engineering between UW-Parkside and UW-Milwaukee.
Okay.
So students will start their first 2 years at UW-Parkside, take all the prerequisite classes they need to qualify for all the engineering programs that UW-Milwaukee offers. They're guaranteed admission into that program if they maintain somewhere between a 2.5 and a 2.75 grade point average. They would finish their degrees in electrical engineering, mechanical engineering, civil, industrial, a whole wide host of these. And those students are probably going to come back to Racine and Kenosha, and those are jobs that are in demand at Foxconn. So
on that note, then, we must close. And so to our radio audience, we say thank you for being with us today as we visit with Krista Cruz, director, and her colleague, Professor Brian Lewis of the College of Natural and Health Sciences. Thanks to both of you for your excellent contributions that you're making to the greater Kenosha Racine community and the many ways that you enrich our lives. I wish you the very best in this important aspect of living and learning in Southeast Wisconsin. This is your host, Dwayne Olson, thanking you for being with us today.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, WGTD.org. and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page. Support comes from Kenosha Harbor Market, featuring Smokin' Tees Tomato Sauce Marinade, available in original and with a kick. Marinades for your favorite meat or fish, also for use in salad dressings and soup bases. The market is open Saturdays from 9 until 2.
Support for WGTD comes from Jack Andrea. Enjoy the wonders of the season with beautiful fall decor, cozy sweaters and coats, and scrumptious Halloween candy, plus pumpkin lattes, shakes, and even waffles, being served daily at Jack's Cafe, jackandrea.com.
Support for WGTD comes from Leeward Elite. Shorten your workday, reduce stress, and re-engage with the joy of mission by removing the pain of technology. 5723 6th Avenue, Kenosha. For more information, visit leewardba.com.
This is Double.